we're continuing our series on really being an alien. And I like that title because it right away just brings a it should bring you into focus, like being an alien, a foreigner or a stranger. That's what we are. And I think that I told you was developing an attitude or something like that, achieving an alien attitude, an attitude of an alien. We are temporary residents. We are exiles. We're outsiders. That's what we are when it comes to society. But I feel that most of us do not work to achieve that or to live in the light of who we already are. You know, we're not trying to become aliens. We already are aliens. We already are foreigners. We are already exiles, temporary residents and outsiders, strangers. But the thing about it is we tend to spend all of our time or much of our time trying to become a part of the house, if you will, instead of residing outside the house. And that's a problem for us, and then more importantly, for the glory of God. So we're going to kind of review and then pick back up. We are referred to as strangers and aliens. We went to, I guess we'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with the first verse. And we will read verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. Just kind of reviewing. This is a letter to the people of God from the apostle of God, actually through the apostle of God, from God. So it's from God, the Holy Spirit, through the apostle Peter to the people of God. And so that letter is apropos for us even on today. Verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 1, and it reads, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as what? Aliens. See, I refer to them as aliens. He could have chosen to those who reside as or to those who reside and just name the cities. But notice how the Holy Spirit took the time to label those who reside in all these cities as aliens. That's an on-purpose Holy Ghost term used by the Apostle Paul under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. To those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen, glory be to God, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Turn to chapter 2, very next chapter. Look at verse 11. Chapter 2, look at verse 11. Same epistle, same writer, Peter, still writing to the same audience. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts. As aliens and strangers. I read that verse for decades. Never has those words jumped off the page like today. How many have read those verses or heard of those verses at least sometime in your lifetime? Never have those words as aliens and on purpose choice by the Holy Spirit jump off. Remember, the word of God is never frivolous in any way, shape, or form. Word choice is huge. And that's why we are trying to become more like him. Jesus said, let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. Anything other than that is evil. That's why great communicators choose their words carefully, right? We think about it, formulate, this is what I want to say. So when you speak, your words mean something. Those are words carefully chosen. Well, we get that characteristic, that trait from God. If he took the time to use the word alien and use it again and added foreigners or pilgrims, hey, there's something he's trying to tell us that we need to identify ourselves as such. And so we need to develop an attitude and an attitude of being an alien, an understanding that we are aliens, and then act on it on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Let's stop trying to integrate into the society. Mm-hmm. Realize we are not a part of it. We are just a temporary resident. We are outsiders. We're outsiders. That's why I tell you, I've been telling you for years, whenever you feel comfortable around your around sinners, and I'm not talking about working side by side, like Pastor Paul said, you got to do that unless you go out of the world. You got to work side by side. You follow that? Not talking about that. I always use a colloquial term, hanging. When you're hanging with them, what I'm using, this escapes right now. But anyway, you're hanging with them. Not just because of work, but outside of work. No, this is what you may call a friend, more than just an acquaintance. And they are a true sinner. And you're comfortable with that. That's a problem. Because of the fact that you possess a divine nature and they possess the nature of their father, the devil, that alone ought to make it very uncomfortable for you to hang with them. I'm not talking about sent on an evangelistic assignment for those knuckleheads that understand about Jesus. He wasn't just hanging with the publicans and sinners. He was there by divine appointment. He was there to show them the power of God. Yes, he did eat with them. But he wasn't hanging. When I use the word hanging in the colloquial term, I'm talking about just aimlessly, I can't get that word. Be able to see, yo. Well, that's good enough. Yeah, just communing and fellowshipping with them aimlessly. No divine purpose. No, you know, I'm there to present Jesus. You just hanging, talking about nothing. They smoking and drinking and even though you may not be smoking and drinking, but you all up in the smoke, they can't tell you smoking or drinking or not. You're not separating yourself. You're not come ye out from among them, as God tells us to do. You're not living as an outsider when you do that. Man, you should see me run from conversations when it turns sour. Oh, man, I just. That sideways shuffle. I'm getting up out of there. I don't want to hear it. Matter of fact, if I see a group of guys or a group of folks from afar, I'm sideways shuffle. I go down the nearest hallway, I will. Not trying to hear all that. Beyond how's the weather, and you know, U of M upset MSU yesterday, and you know, just general sports talk. Whenever it get past generalities of the weather and sports, I'm pretty much done. Unless the Lord says to say this or say that, I have no desire to hang with folks who are not of the household of faith. And matter of fact, I don't have a desire to hang with those who supposedly are, but are weak. Uh-oh. Wimps. I'm going to use the other word. I always going to use the other word. But just wimps. I'm not really crazy about that either. I don't like soft Christians. Scared to speak the truth of God's word because you'd rather stay comfortable in your environment. That's not the mindset of an alien, of an outsider, of a stranger, a foreigner. That's not the mindset. And that's the problem. The church has integrated way too much into this society of whom the devil is the God over. I'm just incredulous. Unbelievable. That's why when Now, it's like, how's your church? Is it growing? Yes, we're growing, man, in leaps and bounds. They're thinking numbers. But I always correct them. I said, we're growing where it counts. It's growing as, we're growing as individuals in the things of God. Because even if you once you get the numbers there, then don't they still have to grow, sir or ma'am? Are you just content with just numbers? Whole bunch of so-called baby Christians mixed in with a bunch of sinners who need diapers and scoopers all behind them because they're doing all kind of, they're messing up the place. You hear what I'm saying, spiritually speaking, because they all little kids.
Lacking knowledge, yes, sir.
We're aliens. That's an on-term, that's an on-purpose, predetermined word by the Holy Spirit before the foundation of the world that I'm going to refer to my people as aliens. I've answered the next question in my notes, but I'm going to ask it anyway. We can hear it again. Why the term alien? Why that term? I have here, because the Holy Spirit, through Peter, wanted to remind his people that they were not truly members of this world's society. Do you hear that? We are not truly members of this world's society. Now that's something to really think about. You're actually here from another country, in a sense. Really from another planet. Because heaven is not even of this earth. Are you with me so far? Just want to impress upon you that this word is not just a made-up word. Look who it came from. It came from our Father, our Savior, who is referring to his children as aliens. Well, if he takes the time to call us that particular word, then it would behoove me to say, okay, I need to understand what that word is and begin to act like that. Does that make sense? You see why he's impressing that upon us? Father God, help us to just understand what it is you're trying to tell us right now. Please. Help us to lock in. Help us to put all our troubles and challenges aside right now and hear your word. I speak that every child of you or yours in here has ears to hear, and they will hear in Jesus' name. Let's go over the definition again. Definition literally means what? Anybody got the definition? What does alien literally mean in the Greek? Foreigner. Alongside the house. That's what the actual word in the Greek means. I think it's something like para oikos. Oikos, something like that. Oikos is house, para is side of. So the house represents the world society, the world's way of thinking, the world's way of believing and doing and acting. We live out. We live on side of the house. We don't get inside the house because we are a stranger. We don't have a house. We live alongside. We're always outside the house, alongside of it, because we got to be down here alongside of them. That's what I talked about working with alongside, but you're never in it. You should never feel like you belong. That's a good one, Holy Spirit. That would preach, wouldn't it? You should never feel like you belong. That's why we use things like temporary resident. A temporary resident. Ain't gonna be here for long. An exile. Belong somewhere else. An outsider. Let me belong in there. You ain't gonna look funny at you. What's wrong with you? My mother's own people, my aunts and uncles, they just, her own family, they just, what's wrong with you? Call her a jack. Got all that education, when you open her mouth, what's wrong with her? They couldn't understand her. Her ways were strange and foreign and alien to them. You know what? You're right on time. Because Jesus said that your foes, your enemies, might even be there of your own household. Will be there of your own household. They don't get it. They don't get it. They don't get you. So the word means literally alongside the house. The word came to denote any person who lives in a country not his own, one who lives in a place without the right of citizenship, and is therefore a foreigner. The term fits Christians who do not belong to the world system, but live alongside those who do. That's why I tell you, you have to be a gangster to live for Jesus Christ in this society. Because people will laugh at you. They will make fun of you. They will look like you are strange and foreign and talk about you, including your family members. But they always want something from you, though, don't they? They don't like you, but soon something go wrong, they're blowing up your phone. Fella, sometimes I can't hardly eat or sleep. Folk always pulling. Want nothing to do with you when they like going halfway right. When they go south, they pulling on your door. But up until then, you strange. You foreign. I don't get you. And when you hear that, you ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm finally doing this thing right. Now, I ain't saying that a sinner can't respect you. They suppose we're going to get into what is the role of an alien. We'll get into that. How he's supposed to act. How they're supposed to act. He's supposed to live right before them. They should respect your lifestyle. But they won't understand it. I don't get it. I don't know how you do that. Yes. The term fits Christians. That last part. The term fits Christians who do not belong to this world system, but live alongside those who do. Was that it? Mm-hmm. You have no right of citizenship. We're spiritual slaves. We're just like the African slave. We're the spiritual slave. Jesus is our master. We belong to him. He's a heavenly master. We have no right of citizenship here because we're going to get right into it. Our citizenship is in heaven. Just like our citizenship was in Africa. So you didn't feel at home here. You felt like a temporary resident, an outsider, a foreigner, and you were thought of that way. The problem is here is that we feel like we are a resident, permanent resident, an insider, and we are thought of that way. That's terrible. The sinner ought not to think that you're one of them. I'm going to read the whole definition one more time. It literally means alongside the house. The word came to denote any person who lives in a country not his own, one who lives in a place without the right of citizenship and is therefore a foreigner. The term fits Christians who do not belong to this world system, and we do not, but live alongside those who do. That's alien. The word stranger, King James has pilgrim. Is one, I've revamped this definition, so we're going to, if you wrote it from last time, we're going to add this to it. A stranger or a pilgrim is one who comes from a foreign country into a city or land to reside there by the side of the natives. Now, the other one means alongside the house. This one is alongside the natives. Same concept. I'm reading it again, too. Hence, stranger. Sojourning in a strange place, comma, a foreigner. So read that again. One who comes from a foreign country into a city or land to reside there by the side of the natives. That's you working side by side. That's you living side by side. Does that make sense? Let me read the first part again. One who comes from a foreign country. You got that part? I know I go real fast. Thank you. Just let me know what you got, okay? Into a city or land to reside there. By the side of the natives. One who comes from a foreign country into a city or land to reside there by the side of the natives. In semicolon. We got that? Mm-hmm. Do we understand that? It's like the side of the house. The native is a representative of really the house dwellers. You got the house dwellers. You won't live in the house. I'll call the natives. You're living alongside them. You're not one of them. And that's something, I love the doubling up of the Holy Spirit's use of alien and stranger or pilgrim. Because really they're synonyms of one another to give us a fuller meaning of what I'm trying to convey to my people. You don't live in their house and you don't live like them. You live alongside their house and you live alongside them. In the end of that definition, because semicolon after that. Hence, stranger. Sojourning in a strange place, a foreigner. This is a strange place. The earth is a strange place. Got all kind of crazy, weird, violent, immoral things happening everywhere. I think I was telling the church, I think it was, I'm off telling Miss Millie or the church that, I think I was telling the church that the young lady went to the bathroom and two girls had drugged her just that. She just went to go to the, mother waiting in the car, go on to the bathroom, girl, come on back out to the car. Just that simple thing, going to the bathroom. Two girls drugged her and the mother happened to realize that the girl was taking too long coming back, her daughter. There were two girls trying to drag her out the bathroom, drugged. Just a simple trip to the bathroom. We live in a strange place. The ways are foreign to us because we don't think like you think. We don't speak like you speak. We don't act like you act. You're just as strange to us as we are to you. We are alien. We are foreign. And we are strange because we are one, instructed by the word of God. I'll go over them again. Two, taught by God's word. Three, controlled by God's word. Four, we live by God's word. We are alien, we are foreign, and strange because we are instructed by God's word, taught by God's word, controlled by God's word, and we live by God's word. We take our time. Word doesn't do that, but we do. I'll say it again. The reason that we are alien, foreign, and strange is because we are instructed by God's word. We are taught by God's word. We are controlled by God's word, and we live by God's word. Okay? In other words, our minds, our worldviews, our perspectives are shaped in a way that is completely and distinctly contradictory to that of the world. Do you see that? I'm going to say that again. That's the crux of the whole thing. Because we're taught by God's word, instructed by God's word, controlled by God's word, lived by God's word, then our minds and our worldviews and our perspectives are shaped by God's word. And that is completely and distinctly contradictory to that of the world. That's why I look at you crazy. I don't think like that. You go, you get up and open the door for your wife, and you do this for you henpecked. That's what they tell a Christian man. because that's foreign. That's contradictory. I heard a knucklehead young man say, "Man, I don't tell. I ain't got to tell her nothing. I'm a grown man. I ain't got to tell her nothing." What's the reason behind that? Just because she's a woman? She's a woman. I ain't got to tell her nothing. I'm a man. Is that not foreign to me and strange to me? Yeah, you the alien too, because you crazy. I'm not joining in with that. But there are people who talk like that, who disrespect women to that level. Just because you a woman, I ain't got to tell you nothing. I don't want no part. We live in a strange land. It's a foreign land to us. It's supposed to be like, I ain't trying to be a part of this. I'm just passing through. I can't wait to get up out of here. Pastor Paul said to get up out of here and be with Christ is far better. But I got to be here, needful for you. I'm here because of the Lord Jesus Christ to please him. That's why for me to live is Christ. But to die is my gain. Absolutely. Read that one more time. We're alien, foreign, and strange because we're instructed by God's word, taught, controlled, and lived by God's word. In other words, our minds, our worldviews, and perspectives, you have to write all that part down. That's just commentary, are shaped in a way that is completely and distinctly contradictory to that of the world. In other words, our living, which is thinking, speaking, and doing, our living to the world seems completely foreign, alien, and strange. Because the world doesn't know what's in here. And when you go out and tell them what's in here, it sounds strange to them. That's just simple teaching. You don't know it, sounds strange. I ain't never heard that before. That's why it's strange. But unfortunately, Christians don't know what's in here. And they sound a lot like the world. That's the problem. We need this reminder. You are an alien. You're a foreigner. You're a stranger. Your residence here is only temporary at best. You're an outsider. You're an exile. Please live like that. Think like that. Amen. Please. I hear the Lord begging us. So yes, if you live by the word of God, are instructed by the word of God, taught by the word of God, controlled by the word of God, your living, thinking, and doing is going to be to the world strange, foreign, and alien. In other words, some more summations, we are not of this world. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Father God, we've heard this, but let it break through anew in Jesus' name. We've heard our citizenship is in heaven. We've heard that many, many times, but we help us to see it today. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Help us to see that today, please, Father God. Again, look at the Holy Spirit's choice of words, our citizenship. So if it's in heaven, then we are in a land where we don't have the right of citizenship. Not down here. We don't have dual. That would preach too. We don't have dual citizenship. I got my American, but I got my Mexican too. You know, no, we don't have dual citizenship. And why in the world would you want it? Why? You want to come to this planet? Well, I'll never forget how somebody said that somebody died, a Christian died, and someone said, "Boy, if I could raise her from the dead, she would come back and wring my neck." I ain't trying to come back down here. I would, I ain't trying to be down here. And that's why we tell when your loved one dies in the Lord, that's why you do your grieving, but it only goes so far because you understand, do you really want her back down here? Really? So. I mean, the windshield alone would make her go back up there. Let alone watching the news. And if she were to come back, she would say, "You know what? Please, you got to let me go back. I don't try to be down there." And she'd be crying like you crying because she's not here. She'd be crying because she is here. Because she's got a glimpse of the Savior. And you know what? It's okay to lose to him. You know what I'm saying? Because once he sees him, I'm sorry, everything else is secondary. You know what I'm saying? So that's what you got to look at.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm already being prepared for my mom. You know, I'm going to miss her, but I already know. And that's what we'll say at the memorial. Mm-hmm. We're going to preach it. There's no way. You're crying for yourself. And you know, it's hard, but you know, talking about being gangster, you got to tell them when you're crying and broke down, that's selfish. Just being real. Because you want her here with you, then you feel better. But that's not her highest good. Her highest good, she's receiving. Love works to the highest good of your neighbor. Well, they are in their highest good. They're there. And I know as a human being, you're going to cry because you're going to miss them. But realize when you do that, like, you know, I'm going to cry because I want her here so I can feel better. But she's great. So I'm not crying for her. Think about that. Just being real. If you think it through, you're not crying for them. I'm talking about the Christian. They're great. You're crying for yourself because you miss her. You miss him. That's why pastors got to stand up, because if you can dare be strong enough to teach it, then the Holy Spirit can use that and actually work with them. Never forget, and this young lady will tell you, when the Lord, that I spoke boldly to her, and it was just her thing. This is my wife. My mom is just gone to heaven. You know, I call mama my mom. And it was tough, but thank God for the boldness to speak that, because it just turned her whole grief period around. Turns it around.
Give the truth, Pastor.
And my mom taught me that when my dad died. I'm 9 years old teaching that. That's why you teach them. That's why I'm rejoicing in seeing these questions. Rejoicing in that, because you're teaching them at a young age. I'm 9. My mom is teaching me. Your dad is in heaven. And that helped me, because I saw her life. You go to alien lifestyle. It emboldened me. It strengthened me. It supported a little 9-year-old. He's in heaven. The thing about it is, your depth of understanding concerning heaven will help you through grief. If you don't know nothing about heaven, ain't never been taught about heaven, all you're taught about is prosperity and get yours while you're here, you're going to be in trouble even as a Christian. That's why I really want to go and just knock preachers in the head, because it makes me so upset, because you're doing no help, no service to the people of God, and they all broken down. And I'm not saying nothing wrong with crying. Y'all heard me say that. We always tell you, Job tore his robe, shaved his head. Classic signs of grief for a Middle Eastern man. And it was a very dramatic a demonstration of grief. Tore his robe, shaved his head, covered himself in ashes, fell on the ground. Grief, nothing is wrong with grief. I'm saying behind that, let the truth undergird you. Let it undergird you. Nothing wrong with grieving. We'll make that perfectly clear. But I think that when you understand it, then you won't grieve so much so where you're just non-functional. That's the point I'm making. It makes it more shallow and more surfacey rather than deep down grief. Because you realize your loved one is in heaven. Mama's in heaven. My dad is in heaven. Sister's in heaven. That's how you make it through. Life's common denominators, Dr. King called it, the thing we call death. All got to go that way. Point on the man wants to die. It's an appointment we can't change. The preachers are right on that. When they go and preach that, and go, you know, start, when you get your dentist appointment, and you don't feel like going to the dentist. You can tell the dentist guy, I ain't coming in today. And you would be all right. But when you come today, you can't change that appointment. Because you can't change it. It's appointed. You have an appointment. in God's economy of things, there is no such a thing as an early death. He died too early in God's, because God knew he was going to die on that day. He knew that. He's going to live not a second longer. He knew that before the foundation of the world. Nothing is unknown to God. All that's foreign thinking. That's strange. All we just talked about right there, that's strange. Right. Might hear you talk like that, they say, you crazy. Unfortunately, Christians tell you the same thing. I spoke that way to a Christian, he thought I was crazy. I said, man, I can't wait to go to heaven. He said, man, I thought I was just saying, man, that's selfish. Because, you know, all the people that miss you, you're not realizing, you're missing it. So you're saying, I'm selfish because I want to go to heaven, but you don't realize you're being selfish because you want me to stay here and not receive my highest good that God has for me. Heaven is the ultimate for all of his people. But yet we treat the ultimate like it ain't nothing because we want a car. A car? A nice house? Status? Over heaven? I need to drink something stronger than water, but I'll just take water for now. That angers me. That you got heaven like down here somewhere, and a car status and money and houses and having a lot of people in your church and being accepted by this society that run by Satan that you're not supposed to be a part of. How crazy is that? You're comfortable because the society that you're not supposed to be a part of is giving you the proper, so you feel good about things. And you talk to them about the ultimate heaven and people get sad. I need to throw something at somebody. Because that angers me. Did we ever get to Philippians 3:20? Or we read it? Okay, Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus. No, we don't. We're supposed to be eagerly waiting. Father God, I pray that we understand Philippians 3:20, that our citizenship is in heaven, and help us to eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Eagerly waiting. We are barely waiting. Matter of fact, Ms. Phyllis said, I was so ignorant when I was at the Name and Claim It Church that I would get sad hearing that Jesus was coming back, because I wanted to get my car, my house, and my status, my thing, before he came back. So I would feel sad every time I heard it, because that's how much the earthly stuff was pumped up over heaven. And I was sad that Jesus was coming back before I got my stuff. I'm embarrassed to even tell you that. But that's what wrong teaching does. I don't know nothing but what the teacher teaches me. I don't know how to dig into the word for myself at that time. I'm learning like you're learning. That's why it's so damaging to get under the wrong leadership and the wrong teaching. So damaging.
Yes, sir.
It does great damage to your spiritual growth and understanding.
Yes, sir.
Extremely damaging. How in the world I don't want Jesus to come back until I get my stuff. That's crazy. You can laugh.
It is crazy.
Yeah. Amen. Come on, preacher.
I'm only my husband.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate the honesty, because I was there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jesus, you hold tight. Now I can't. I'm not mad. Like, where is he? Where is he? I'm like, duh, come, Lord Jesus, come, please, come, Lord, come. But I thank God for Word of Life. Thank God. In that basement, over on 338 Julius, the Lord slapped me. I don't know how it happened, but he slapped me up, and I just, like, heaven just opened up. I said, I see. I remember telling the Lord, I see what Apostle Paul was talking about. to live and depart and be with you is far better. I see this. I wanted to go right then. That's back in 03. Still here. Sometimes I get a little sad because I told you I done messed up. I'm going to tell you that because I obeyed my mother and father. And he said, when you do that, Ephesians 6, 2, long life. Phyllis C. laughing at me. Long life, Miss Phyllis C. So like I'll be around a while, but I'm not really crazy about it in one sense. But what it does is sharpen your focus about doing what God had would have to do, because for me to live is Christ. Yes. I'm not living for Greg. Yes. Yes. And quite as kept, I'm not even living for you. I'm living for him. And in living for him, I serve you. Serve my wife, serve my family. But I'd rather be gone. Just being real, and you understand it. Because I think some of y'all, as we've heard it enough now, you're speaking the same thing. Like, I'd rather be gone. I'd rather be out of here. But let me stay focused. Because I'm here for Christ. You're here for Christ's sake. All of you all are here for Christ's sake. Everybody's here. That's why she's praying. The Lord moved on. That's the Lord moved. Pray for April. Ain't knocking nobody else. You just move and pray for April. Keep doing what you're doing. You can get discouraged. You're in the den of iniquity. You're talking about feeling like a foreigner. You ought to know you can stand up here and preach this. I can sit down. I am in a foreign land. She walks into U of M. She's in a foreign, strange land. When you walk out your house, you're in a foreign, strange land full of perversion, violence, selfishness. Just go through 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4 or 5, and just read that horrible list. Fierce, violent, haters of good. Swift to shed blood. Violent. These Amber Alerts that go off on your phone. Lord have mercy. How was a 2-month old?
Two week old,
Father God. Let's pray, y'all. If she has she been found? Anybody heard that yet?
Yeah.
She have been found. In Jesus' name, all right. Is she all right?
Yeah.
Thank God. Y'all can have this. In heaven, ain't no Amber Alerts.
Thank you, Lord.
Am I right, Miss Palmer? Ain't no Amber Alerts. I got to worry about no 2-week-olds being kidnapped. 2 weeks, Lord have mercy. Little bitty little thing. Make you want to see it. Look at the verse again. Our citizenship is in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Our citizenship is in heaven. Isn't that good news, Miss Mean? That's good news. From which we eagerly wait for our Savior. I'm just checking. Eagerly. Got my fingers caught up in there. Trying to find a fella. I can't wait, man. My dad died early, in a sense, you know, as far as we talking about. But, man, he been up there a long time.
Yeah.
50 years next year. It'll be 50 years this year, actually. Our citizenship is in heaven. I can just sit there and look at that all day long. And that's what I'm telling you. When you get hung up in this world and get a little too caught up in things, just pull that verse out and just put it on your screen. Say, well, just look at it for a good 5 minutes. And just thank the Lord. Our citizenship in heaven. Just go give him praise and glory for it. And your mind will switch over from the house thinking and native thinking to being outside the house, alongside the natives. Because this is not native thinking. We don't belong here. We're just passing through. We are exiles. We are foreigners. We're strangers. Why? Because our citizenship is in heaven, not here. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Look at John 17. John the 17th chapter. The Gospel of John, the 17th chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. Remember, we're still answering the question, why the term alien? Why foreigners? Why? Why? One, we're not of this world. John the 17th chapter, verse 14. John chapter 17, verse 14. You got? Do you have it?
Yeah.
Verse 14, I have given them your word. This is Jesus praying, really, the Lord's Prayer. This is really the Lord's Prayer, the high priestly prayer. The other one that they call the Lord's Prayer is actually the Lord teaching us how to pray. This is the Lord actually praying. Jesus is saying, I have given them, talking to his Father, God the Father. I, Jesus, have given them, God the Father, your word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Why are we foreign and alien strangers? Because we're not of this world. Even as I am not of the world, just like your Savior, the Lord Jesus, is not of this world, you are not of this world because you belong to him. Mm-hmm. I do not ask you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. So we can't, unfortunately, April, we can't take you out of the den. You got to stay there for now. Mm-hmm. Right? You got to stay in your spot. Got to stay there. Right? You got to stay where you are. Every time you hear, see an Amber Alert, see the news, you want to go out of the world. But we got to stay here. He said, no, I'm not praying that you take him out. Because, why? And why wouldn't he pray that?
And wouldn't be the will of God.
Bam. Because the will of God for his disciples, that's the thing he's talking about, was for them to affect the world. They had assignments. Yeah. You have an assignment. Yeah. You have an assignment. Yeah. You have an assignment. We all have assignments here. You have an assignment. So he's not going to take us out the world. We have to fulfill the assignments, plural, because you go from one to another. You're in the tough one now, but it's an assignment. It's truly your blanchette, child, for real. But I tell you what, you come out of like pure gold. It grew me up from a boy to a man quickly. He grows you up. And the thing, the reason he puts you in such fire, because I believe it's because of the depth of the next assignment that he's preparing you for. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he got crazy cousins and nephews and things. Just crazy. Just make you be on your knees, your hair turn gray, and your mouth dry out, and lose your appetite, because they just crazy. He could have gave you nice nephews and all them saved and preachers, you know, but he didn't do that. He just did not. Don't work that way. He gave you ones that just pull your hair out. Sisters that don't act right. Nephews is crazy. Cousins is crazy. Sons and daughters sideways. Keep you on your knees. Because God knows we need trouble in our life to stay close to him. That's just real talk. And that's James 1. I ain't making that up. That's James chapter 1. I'm not being philosophical. That's James chapter 1. That's James chapter 1. He uses troubles. That's Job. When I get through this fire, I'm coming out like pure gold. I ain't just make being philosophical. That's the word. We don't like it. Hebrews, no chastening seems joyous, but grievous. So cry. But eventually you got to do the temptations. Dry your weeping eye and go on back home. Because you're lost in a great big city. Runaway child running wild. Calm yourself down and go on back home. That's what I love when you press out when you have troubles in your life. You press out to church. You come home. And it says home and as home as can be on this earth. You come out to church. I love that. And I wanted to set the man, Sister Orlando, wanted to set the precedent when the day her mother died. We came to church. We wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Don't want to be anywhere else. I want to be here with the people of God. Fellowshipping, hugging, encouraging me to love and good works, as Hebrews 11 talks about, negative 10. Encouraging me. We need encouragement, and I can get it from the people of God. We were here. I think it was Sister April when your dad died, I think. It was on a Wednesday too, I think. Or the funeral was on a Wednesday, I know. Came right to church. Where else to be? Can't wait to get here. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I love that. Love when I hear people say that. Woo, so glad to be saved. We're not of this world. I don't ask you to take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil ones. So, let's go back to April and others who are in these tough assignments. What he's going to do, he's going to keep you there. to the time to leave the assignment, but he's going to keep you from the evil one. The word keep means to what, my Greek scholars? Protect you from the evil one. So when you have evil thoughts to do things that's not godly, such as commit mass mayhem and murder, because you don't like nobody up in there, they all get on your nerves. You brought a 10-inch steak knife to do some things, and then the Lord said, put it up.
Oh my goodness.
You walk past a stranger and they say, don't do it. And they kept on walking. You're like, that happened with JR. I'm going to tell his testimony. He went over to go kill somebody. Gun in hand, guns loaded up, night, walked down the middle of the street. Had they shotguns and things, you know, kind of down by the, and walked and was on the porch, knocking on the door. And the cry came out from down the street. JR, you got a phone call. Like, what? Because they didn't have, you know. He's like, what? What the world? It was cold, rainy or something, you know, inclement weather. They wanted, what? Yeah, you got a phone call. It's. And he went on the phone, walked all the way back down, got on the phone. Sister said, whatever you finna do, don't do it. Didn't know nothing they were doing. So you finna do whatever it is, you need to don't do it. And he said, when he got back down, when he answered the phone and hung up and everything, he said, what you talking about? Hung up, he said, man, it's too cold, go back down. Didn't do it.
Wow.
He kept him. He will keep you.
Yes, he does.
He will keep you.
Yes, indeed.
Glory be to God. Because we dumb, real dumb. And we do stupid things. But he will keep you. Father God, I'm overwhelmed by your word today. We pray, and I will pray it ad nauseum, ad infinitum. It is a lamp unto our feet. I can't stress that enough. It is a light unto our pathway. It gives us light. It lightens the way for us, meaning it shows us the way to go. We're not confused,
no.
In a sense. Your word is a lamp. Your word is a light.
Thank you.
The entrance of your word brings light.
Yes.
Meaning when it enters the understanding of the mind.
Yes.
And there's clarity and revelation of your word. It brings forth light and clarity. And we are thankful for that in Jesus' name. We're thankful. We're grateful that here at Word of Life, your word has its rightful place by having the preeminence over any and everything else. We thank you that you have sanctified us through your truth. Your word, help me, is truth. We thank you for it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.